5. The Last Social Hour. Since it was Wednesday, this evening at the camp was a social hour. The master endeavored to cheer his downcast apostles, but that was well nigh impossible. They were all beginning to realize that disconcerting and crushing events were impending. They could not be cheerful, even when the master recounted their years of eventful and loving association. Jesus made careful inquiry about the families of all of the apostles and, looking over to David Zebedee, asked if anyone had heard recently from his mother, his youngest sister, or other members of his family. David looked down at his feet. He was afraid to answer. This was the occasion of Jesus's warning his followers to beware of the support of the multitude. He recounted their experiences in Galilee, when time and again great throngs of people enthusiastically followed them around, and then just as ardently turned against them and returned to their former ways of believing and living. And then he said, "And so you must not allow yourselves to be deceived by the great crowds who heard us in the temple, and who seemed to believe our teachings. These multitudes listen to the truth, and believe it superficially with their minds, but few of them permit the word of truth to strike down into the heart with living roots. Those who know the gospel only in the mind, and who have not experienced it in the heart, cannot be depended upon for support when real trouble comes. When the rulers of the Jews reach an agreement to destroy the Son of Man, and when they strike with one accord, you will see the multitude either flee in dismay, or else stand by in silent amazement, while these maddened and blinded rulers lead the teachers of the gospel truth to their death. And then, when adversity and persecution descend upon you, still others who you think love the truth will be scattered, and some will renounce the gospel and desert you. Some who have been very close to us have already made up their minds to desert. You have rested today in preparation for those times which are now upon us. Watch, therefore, and pray that on the morrow you may be strengthened for the days that are just ahead." The atmosphere of the camp was charged with an inexplicable tension. Silent messengers came and went, communicating with only David Zebedee. Before the evening had passed, certain ones knew that Lazarus had taken hasty flight from Bethany. John Mark was ominously silent after returning to camp, notwithstanding he had spent the whole day in the master's company. Every effort to persuade him to talk only indicated clearly that Jesus had told him not to talk. Even the master's good cheer and his unusual sociability frightened them. They all felt the certain drawing upon them of the terrible isolation which they realized was about to descend with crashing suddenness and inescapable terror. They vaguely sensed what was coming, and none felt prepared to face the test. The master had been away all day. They had missed him tremendously. This Wednesday evening was the low tide mark of their spiritual status up to the actual hour of the Master's death. Although the next day was one more day nearer the tragic Friday, still he was with them, and they passed through its anxious hours more gracefully. It was just before midnight when Jesus, knowing this would be the last night he would ever sleep through with his chosen family on earth, said, as he dispersed them for the night, "Go to your sleep, my brethren, and peace be upon you till we rise on the morrow, one more day to do the Father's will and experience the joy of knowing that we are His sons."